morning.
And welcome.
Thank you.
Nice to see your faces.
Is it time to get up yet?
What?
Is it time to get up yet?
I was, you missed it.
Spring forward.
Okay, we had a wonderful dinner last night. The turnout was great.
Oh, good.
We made $746.
Amen.
Wow.
Because all the supplies were donated in Mickey's name. And it was a wonderful time, everybody worked well together. We had good peelers, we had good servers, we had a wonderful cook. The meat was fabulous.
Amen.
And everybody had a good time. And I wanna thank everybody that participated. Okay, our normal things, we have Bible study at 9 on Sunday in Mickey's room. And on Wednesday, they have prayer from 6 to 6:30. Bible study from 7 to 8. Thursday is choir practice, 6:30 to 8. They're looking for more people. If you can sing a note, come. Next week will be Palm Sunday. On the 24th, we have the Monday, Thursday service here. And then on the 25th, we go to the Brimfield Congregational Church for their service. And the 27th, we will have sunrise service at Dakota's Beach. That's always well attended. And in between that service and our regular service, we'll be serving breakfast downstairs.
With corned beef hash.
We're having corned beef hash and eggs, and well, I don't know if we'll have English muffins or toast, but we'll decide. Does anybody else have any announcements? Yes, Ken.
Yeah, if you're going to participate on Easter with music, I need to know before this Thursday. So that's the, you know, if you should tell them there, because I suppose the time is a lot of people are here. Please let everyone know that might possibly want to do that, because we have to prepare, and if we don't, if I don't know by Thursday, then that's the deadline. But I'm encouraging people. What?
So what are the suggested possible? I mean, do you have like some particular chorus song in mind, or
whatever you'd like to contribute? We have things that we do. If you want to join us, then come Thursday to rehearsal.
Any other announcements? Yes.
Some know, but some don't. We've got a cottage below the Jetty Ridge now, so we are hidden in the hollow.
We welcome your tax.
That's the first stop was to the town hall. Here's my P.O. box. Make sure I get it.
Anyone else? No. Now we still have prayer requests. Rich Learned is in the hospital with pneumonia. Jane Lane suffered a fall and has damaged her back. Sue Hagen's Uncle Donnie, he has cancer. Prayers for Trish and others that have the flu. Prayers for Jeannie and Terry and their sister Alice. Roger Kerboy, the Reverend Bob Wellner, and Karen's friend Dee, and her husband, and all other cancer warriors as they battle cancer. Mm-hmm. Prayers for Bob and Judy, Charlie and I, and all who battle Parkinson's. Prayers for Joy as Elaine has returned home from Alaska.
Amen.
Continue prayers for baby Luke, Angelica Ward, and Alexis, as well as our children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren that need healing, doctors and nurses that treat them. Continue prayers for Paul LaVoy, my sister Priscilla, for Where's Belinda and Alexis? If they both prepare for surgery, do we have any other prayer requests? Yes, Charlie.
Yes, a friend of mine, a friend of a friend, his name's Ernie, and he's been on dialysis, but he really took a turn from the worse. And so I think he's going to come out, but let's pray that he gets back to his normal schedule and gets out of the hospital. Okay. Ernie.
Yes?
Prayer for Linda's friend. She's got lung cancer. Stage 3.
And her name?
It is Karen Swords.
Karen Swords.
Yeah. It's something.
Stand for the call for worship.
Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Hey, it's good to be gathered here in God's house. I got to take my coat off. This is. I got to go to work. The dinner last night was a great time. We had good fun, good fellowship. Joel and I were visiting about all the different folks that came. It's always good to do outreach and do God's work. Got some information from Ben Buckland. Ben's our missionary friend that's over in the Middle East, and he's doing well. He talks about visiting with his friend. He's a young man named Eldar. And he said, he writes, it's amazing how much weight can be in a few words and how they can stay with you. He talked about how Eldar, his friends, found God at 12 or 13 years old, and that he's been working with Ben. And because he found Jesus and because he became a believer, he's kind of the opposite of the rich young ruler that came to see Jesus, and Jesus said to him, give away everything that you have and follow me, and he couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. This young man, because he became a Christian, has no family. To his family, he is dead. So he has no family. And, you know, Ben talks to him, and the young guy works with him on a regular basis. And it's interesting that when Ben talks about visiting with folks, the excitement and the enthusiasm that they feel when they find a living God, when they find a God that loves them. Mm. That isn't a God that they have to be afraid of. That isn't a God that they, you know, fear retribution from. That they find a God of love. My sermon is called Hiding in Plain Sight. And I get better at that all the time. I was telling folks yesterday at the dinner, I seem to lose my glasses, my keys, and everything else on a regular basis. The advantage is that Easter time, I can hide my own Easter eggs because I can put them out, and a little while later, I won't remember where they are. But most things in life that we have a question for, the answer is hiding in plain sight. And it hides in plain sight because the answer is here.
Amen.
The answer is that, you know, we pick up our phones and we go, yo, Google. I need to Google it. Yo, Google, what's the answer to this? Here's the answer to yo, Google.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I tell folks all the time, this is called the Bible, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Mm-hmm. That's what the Bible is. The Bible has the answer to any Jeopardy question that you need the answer to. So as we prepare for service, if you turn to 201, Jesus Teaching the Beatitudes. 201. I'll read the light part, y'all read the dark. Blessed are the poor in spirit,
for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed are those who mourn,
for they will be comforted.
Blessed are the meek,
for they shall inherit the earth.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness,
for they will be filled.
Blessed are the merciful,
for they will show mercy.
Blessed are the pure in heart,
for they will see God.
Blessed are the peacemakers,
for they will be called the sons of God.
Blessed are they who are persecuted because of their righteousness,
for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed are you when people shall insult you, persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me.
Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
You might be more than one of these groups. I know when I rolled out of bed this morning, I felt like blessed are the poor in spirit. I rolled out of bed and looked at the clock and went, Shazam! This could not be correct. But this truly is the day that the Lord has made. It is a glorious spring that we're experiencing.
Amen.
Y'all remember last year we were buried with snowbanks up so high you couldn't hardly see your way around anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I listened to the weather forecast and they said, well, we might have some snow and sleet tomorrow. And I was sad. I'm going to be on the road tomorrow morning and headed back up to the Berkshires again. But when you compare this year to other years,
whoa,
you know, that little bit of snow and sleet that may show up is just a minor bump in the road.
Mm-hmm.
So as we prepare for service, join with me in prayer. Father, we're so blessed and we thank you and praise you for this day and every day. We are especially blessed with the weather, Lord.
Yes.
We're blessed with the land that we live in, that the little town of Wales and the surrounding towns have been spared from the big storms of life that go on across the country. We ask, Father, that you take whatever storm that's in us and calm it. That you take away any distractions that we have this morning so that we can hear your voice and hear your word and be renewed, lifted up, and more than we ever thought we could be. We pray, Father, that you recharge us, that you take our tired batteries because of the time change, the dinner, or whatever. That you lift us up and renew us so that we can go out and help those that truly need help. Mm-hmm. And now, Lord, as we prepare for service, we gather together in the prayer that your Son Jesus taught us when he said, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
With the Leadeth Me, O Blessed Thought, and we'll do all the verses.
Thank you.
forget, I don't know if Alma announced or not, but we have some corned beef and cabbage dinners that we prepackaged that are downstairs. If you'd like a dinner, see Alma about it. It was good corned beef. Ushers are going to receive our tithes and offerings. The gift you give shows up every week. The gift you give shows up when we have peelers that need to do peeling. And you come and you gather in fellowship and you get to hang out with folks like George Reeland and people that come and share and participate. Your service comes when you have the opportunity to come and share and do God's work. It was interesting yesterday morning, we had a bunch of folks gathered and Joanne stopped by and I walked outside to get something out of my van and there was Peter, Joanne's husband, outside. And he's got a rake in his hand and he's out there raking away. Nobody needed to tell him what needed to be done. Nobody needed to ask him to go do it. He saw there was a need and he went and filled the need.
Amen.
Yeah. But that's what differentiates God's team when you're truly God's warrior. And, you know, I often talk about, you know, when I used to guest lecture a lot, I'd talk about what a friend really is. A friend is somebody that when he looks up in the distance and sees that your car's on the side of the road and it's raining outside and you've got a flat tire, doesn't take the left-hand turn and make a exit around you. Your friend is one that drives up and gets out in the rain with you and does the hard things and shares not just the good times but the bad times. And I'm reminded of that constantly as we prepare and we do work, that people stop and help out and do the hard, inconvenient things. And they do them with, and not looking for a pat on the back or a reward. Matter of fact, if you tell Peter I brought him up in church, he probably will be disgusted with me. Yeah. And but the message today is talking about hiding in plain sight. You can see God's work everywhere, but because it's hiding in plain sight. You can see God's work, and if you've got some coats that you want to donate, Carla's going to come back, and she's looking for coats and things that you have that are of good quality so she can drop them off at a mission. She's hiding in plain sight. The opportunity to serve is here every day, every hour, every minute, and that's hiding in plain sight. The opportunity is there. And you can be a grump, and you can say, that's not mine. That's not mine. But here's a clue. If God keeps showing you the opportunity, it's your job. It's your job. I've talked to you before about God knocks. And if you don't pay attention, God knocks. And if you don't pay attention, God knocks. God will keep knocking until you pay attention. It's like the shot in the head.
Then 2x4 comes out.
So as you share in the abundance that God has provided to you, realize that the abundance isn't just in the money that you give. The abundance is in the smile that you share, the hug that you give, the service that you do, the rake that you pull out of your car when nobody's looking in your rake.
Time, talents, and treasures.
That's the opportunity. We'll receive the morning offering.
Oh, I see you.
praise God from whom all eagerly. We come gratefully. We come so proud, Lord, to be able to share and return a small portion of what you've given us. You bless us so immensely, Lord. We ask you to take these gifts, that you utilize them to expand our ministry, that you help us to step outside our comfort areas and grow and expand and reach folks that have not heard your voice, that have not seen your face, that have not felt your touch and your love. We ask, Father, that you bless these gifts as well as the giver, that you multiply, magnify, and utilize them in your service. We lift them up all to you through your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Turn on, Kelly. Jack Keller's cross out. Very good. Y'all may be seated. And Keller, you might as well stay down here, brother. It's chilling time.
Do you ever have a fear of somebody who's behind you doing something weird?
I do not.
Eyes in the back of her head.
Yeah. How many times have you heard people say, God is with you? Millions of times, right? How many times have you heard somebody say, I've been talking to God, and I know he's talking back to me? Have you ever felt that way? When I was probably in my third grade, my Sunday school teacher, my favorite Sunday school teacher of all, was telling me about a woman that she knew. She was an older lady, and she actually was so old that almost all of her friends had died, her family had died. She was the only one left. And she lived in an apartment. She was kind of poor, so she lived in a not great apartment. And her apartment overlooked like an open alleyway. So it was big enough for the kids to play in. Everyone in her neighborhood was kind of poor, so that was the only place they could get together. They didn't have a park, they didn't have a yard. So she would sit at her kitchen table and she would watch the kids play. And she said every day at 4 o'clock though, she and her very best friend would get together and have tea and cookies. And her very best friend was Jesus. They would talk about anything and everything. Now, did she think that Jesus actually was picking up a teacup? Do you think he was actually doing that? No, but he was there. So after I heard that story, I went home and thought, I'm going to try this. I'm going to see if I can see Jesus. So in my house, in order to get to the backyard, you had to go downstairs through the basement and out the basement door. So I went down the stairs and went to go out the basement door. And there on the side here was the box where my kittens were. And Mama Cat was in there too. One of those kittens had gotten hit by a car. It didn't die, but it had done something to its leg. And my parents, we didn't have a lot of money, so we couldn't afford to take it to the vet. So my dad said he would give it a few days, and if it survived, and he was doing okay, it would be okay, but if not, he was going to have to put it down. So I walked past there and said, God, I really don't want that cat put down. Could you just do something to help take care of it? And I went and I sat on the step, and I looked at that cat, and Mama Cat got up, and she left. But when she left, two other kittens scrambled over and went and laid down beside the one that was in the bed, and another one kind of sat like this, like it was keeping guard, just watching back and forth. And I said, God, look at that. They're like taking care of it. And all of a sudden, just like that, just like I knew Tom was back there, I could feel Jesus was right here. Now, I couldn't actually see him, but I knew he was there. Mm-hmm. And I knew in my heart he was telling me that it was going to be okay, that he was making sure that kitten was being taken care of. And the kitten was. A few days later, the kitten was up running around doing crazy things, climbing up on top of our roof and looking down in my window. It really was awesome. He did that little brain damage or something, I'm not sure. I want you to try that. I want you to go home today, and I want you to go for a walk, someplace safe, and talk to Jesus. I want you to understand that he's there with you. I want you to give it a few minutes and just listen. You might not actually hear him saying, well, Alexis, or Keller. I knew it was Kelly, I knew it was wrong. You might not actually hear him saying your name, but you're going to be able to hear that he's there. Mm-hmm. You're going to feel him. I promise you, you will. And if you want to hear what he's saying, bring your Bible with you, open it up, and he's going to talk to you through that Bible. Okay? Close your eyes. Jesus, I thank you that you're with us all the time. I thank you, Father, that there are times that you let us feel your presence more than others. Lord, I pray that we would never lose sight of the fact that you are there, even when we can't see you. Father, I pray that you help us to spread that news to everyone else around us as well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, off to Mrs. Burdicklin. Continue service with 580. Jesus calls us over the tumult, and we'll do first and last. 580.
Huh?
That's what we're going to do first and last.
That'd be one and two?
Opportunity to come and talk to God, opportunity to hear God's voice. Jack sent me a text that they finally took Trish in. In today's healthcare world, you got to kind of be persistent some days. They were pretty sure that Trish had pneumonia, and she started out with a bug, so he went back yesterday and got her looked at again. So she's in the hospital down at the rehab center where Paul is. The flu is running rampant down there. You have to be gowned up, masked up, and in a decontamination suit to go in and visit anybody along the way. So there's a lot of folks that are battling that type of thing. Rich is in Wayne and has pneumonia. He's doing okay. He just, I think it's a combination probably of exhaustion and that type of thing. Jane Lane took a fall, and I got an email from her, or from John, and they were coming up here. I'm not sure if he's still coming or not, but she definitely is, and she fell and fractured vertebrae in her back. So, we always have more than enough folks to pray for, but before we go to prayer time, I had picked up the Bible, and I was looking up stuff for the service, and I came across Psalm 13. And Psalm 13 is one of those psalms that when you look at it, you say to yourself, man, the psalmist must have been having a bad day. The psalmist must have been having a bad day. Yeah, and sometimes we get overloaded. The folks that know my schedule for the last, for this week and the past couple weeks, some days I feel like this. And it says, how much longer will thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long will thou hide my face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Your enemy comes in a lot of different flavors. Mm-hmm. Enemy might be at work. It might be folks that you hang out with. It might be a hitch in your giddy-up that you've got. Whatever you're battling along the way. Consider and hear me, O Lord. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. lest my enemies say I have prevailed against him. That these trouble of me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me.
Amen.
The glass can be half full or half empty. It's the glass that doesn't change. The blessings inside don't change. God blesses you abundantly.
Amen.
But he doesn't say when you become a Christian that every hitch in your giddy up goes away, that every stressful thing is going to go away, that life is going to be smooth and easy. There are going to be bumps in the road. But if you're a Christian, you deal with the bumps in the road and the adversity that comes your way with a smile. Because you know the answer to the quiz. You know that God is with you all the time, that he's there to walk with you and talk with you and lift you up and heal you. And as Buck and I like the Western, there's a Western and the poor old Indian's been conquered. And they asked him about his horse. And he said, my war horse that I used to ride proudly now pulls a wagon in New York. But he and I will persevere. We will persevere.
That's right. That's right.
So as we go to prayer times, know that we will not only persevere, but God has an abundance that he shares with us and shares generously, because we are an abundantly blessed group. Join with me in prayer. Father, we come together and we lift up all the folks on our prayer list. We lift up those that are battling pneumonia and the flu, those that have had fallen and have injuries, those that are battling cancer. We pray for all these folks, Father, and all the families that are fighting the fight with them, that you lift them up, you strengthen them, that you touch them all and heal them. We pray for our children, and we're blessed, Father, that baby Luke continues to do well, that Angelica does well, that Alexis is here with us in church. We pray for the blessing of all our children and grandchildren. We pray, Father, for all our folks, that the doctors and nurses will hear your voice and that they will embrace your word and share your knowledge, for you truly are the great physician. We pray for folks that are in continual care, Lord, like Paul, who's in the rehab center, and Priscilla, who's constantly being attended to. We pray, Father, for your healing hand upon them, that you hold them close in the palm of your hand, that you treat all those folks gently. That you're with the folks that aren't here today, Buck's at home and having breathing issues. We pray for Charlie's friend that has been on dialysis, that you restore him and treat him gently, that if it's in your will, Father, that you restore him to a workable condition so that his faculties all return. And now, Father, we pray for all our military men and women that are spread around the globe. We pray for our firefighters and our police officers and our first responders and all folks that put themselves in harm's way to benefit other folks. We pray for the families that wait for them for their safe return, that you help them to be focused and faithful, Father, and that they all embrace your word and use you as their compass and GPS as they move forward. And now, Father, we add our own individual prayers.
Dear Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for my church family, Lord. Thank you for my family. Please be with all those who are ill, all those who are heavy laden, all those who are forlorn. Also, please be with this country and help us to choose correctly a new leader, Lord, to get past all the pettiness and all the name calling and all the fighting, Lord. Pick someone who will listen to you and carry us forward.
Praise the Lord. We are now dwelling in Beulah Land, Father, just over the hilltop and the little cottage below. Thank you, Lord, because you are able to do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens us. Lord, we ask you for that strengthening. We ask for that powerful arm high. Lord, that this church can be empowered by the Holy Spirit to go forth as one beggar telling another beggar where we got the bread of life and compel them to come in, to invite them to take part of the fellowship of this little church that has a big heart. We ask this in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen.
Thank you, Father, for watching our words today. Thank you for bringing us all in safety. Thank you for Pastor and his wife being here, Lord. I pray you bless them. I pray you continue to bless Dennis Trinity. Lord, I pray that you just watch over him today, and I pray that he does really accept your the help that you send him, Lord, and continue to strengthen him, Lord, as he recovers. Thank you for bringing Sean and I safely there and back. And thank you again for this loving people here in the church. Thank you,
church, for Dennis Trinity. I ask that you be with all your children, your Lord, those that are ill, please talk to them, those that are waiting to go home. Lord, God, you're in, and welcome back. I pray for your husband, your Lord, and you can take the oath that off his chest.
Mm-hmm.
I pray for my sister, who suffers with sciatic. Dear Lord, you know I pray for cancer.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. And I pray that you bless all of us. Thank you, God, for my son, Keller, and as always. Thank you for the church family, especially for Mrs. Karen Kibbe and that beautiful voice and that knowing voice. Bestows the lessons of your love on our children. This is all for you.
Thank you, Lord.
I pray that you be with my daughter, who's just struggling right now. Father, I pray that you be with her, if it wasn't for her.
Lord, please pray for my aunt's hand, who was in the hospital.
Thank you for all my blessings, Lord. Please heal David and Nancy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing of this beautiful day, Lord. Pray for our dear sisters, Terry and Jeannie, Lord, as they walk with their sister, Lord, as they battle cancer, Lord. Pray for all our other cancer warriors, Lord, that you help them, Lord. I pray that in our lifetime, see a cure for cancer. Thank you for this wonderful church, Lord. Pray for our dear pastor, Lord. Bless him, Lord, for the wonderful Holy Spirit. Lord. Give him extra energy, Lord, as he has a busy schedule the next couple days, Lord. Let him be a blessing to the people up on the hill, Lord, as he participates in that funeral service. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for
answering
prayers in this beautiful day.
Loving God, we do love you and thank you for every beautiful day. And we just pray that you will be with all the families that are sick. Take away that cancer and heal people and make them well. We just pray that you'll take care of all the families that are suffering from people being sick. God, be with us and help us to do our best. In Jesus' name we pray as we thank Pastor Gary for all that he does too. Thank you, dear God, for everyone. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, we come in the quiet. We come and we feel your touch in the wind. We feel your touch in the warmth of the sunlight. We see your face in the friends and neighbors and church family members that we have that come and share in the work and share in the joy and share in the fellowship. Father, we lift up all our prayers to you, spoken and unspoken, knowing that you have a plan for us for good, not for evil. That you are the great physician, that you are the Father that provides the abundance with your children openly and freely. And now, Father, we lift up all these prayers through your Son, Jesus.
Amen. today is from John, chapter 11, verses 38 through 54. Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Mm-hmm. So they took away the stone. Mm-hmm. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. Mm-hmm. I knew that you always hear me, mm-hmm. but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." Mm-hmm. When he said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary had seen some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what he had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the council and said, "What are we to do? This man is performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and destroy both our holy place and our nation." Mm-hmm. But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all. You do not understand that it is better for you to have one man die for the people than to have the whole nation destroyed." He did not say this on his own, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus was about to die for the nation, mm-hmm. and not for the nation only, but to gather unto one the dispersed children of God. So that day on, they planned to put him to death. So be it the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Donna. Join with me in prayer. Father, we come and we ask that you put your hands on each one of us, that you lift us up and open our hearts and minds, that you surround us with angels, that you make this message special for each person here. For there'll be one message, but the message will be special for each person. That the words would be a game changer, that the message would be life changing. That your message would not go and land on rocks, but land on fertile ground. Mm. That your word would sprout in each person's heart and in each person's mind, so that they would be all the things that you intended them to be. So that they would be everything that you intended them to be. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus walked towards the cross, included the walk back to his friend Lazarus. The story of Lazarus is told in John 11. The verse begins, "A certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town that Mary and her sister Martha." And Jesus gets the message. Jesus gets the message that Lazarus was sick. And he says, "I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back." And his disciples say to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you. And you're going to go there again? Mm-hmm. You're going to go there again?" And Jesus says, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? Anyone that walks in the day does not stumble because he sees the light. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." These things he said, and after that he said, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps. I'll go that I may wake him up." And the disciples said, "Well, that's good. If he's sleeping, he must be getting better. He must be getting better." And Jesus came, and they had told him that Lazarus had been dead about 4 days. And he says, okay. And this section is one of the most important verses in the Bible. comes in 35. Jesus wept. I use the scripture this afternoon. I'll use it tomorrow for the funeral service of my friend. Jesus was God's son, and he knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. And yet he still wept. He wept because of the emotion of that people have, including Jesus, of dying. We were meant to be immortal. In the Garden of Eden, there was no death. God made us immortal. Then when we got kicked out of the Garden of Eden, death came along. That's why death is one of those things that we fear. It's one of those things that makes us sad because there's a separation between us and the people that we love till we all get to heaven and see them again. So Jesus wept, and then he goes, and it says in the Living Version, Jesus again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. King James says, deeply moved, Jesus went to the tomb, which was a cave, with a stone placed in front of it, and he says, take away the stone. Take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of Lazarus, says to him, Lord, he stinks already. He's in the tomb and he stinks already. The answer was hiding in plain sight. The answer with God is things that are apparently obvious are not always the answer. Things that we Google and take for granted are not the answer. God works and Jesus works in miracles. God works and takes the impossible and makes it possible. God takes the unhealable and heals them, the unfixable and fixes them. And Jesus says to her, did not I say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? They took the stone away from the place the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifts up his eyes and says, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. He didn't say, Father, please heal Lazarus. He didn't say, Father, if you're there and if it's your will, please heal Lazarus. Jesus lifts up his eyes and says, thank you that you've heard me. Thank you that you've heard me. You have assurance, you're believers, you are part of God's army. You need to realize that God is a God of the impossible, that nothing with God is impossible. Jesus says, if you ask anything in my name, it shall be done. You'll hear the expression, you got to believe to receive. Sometimes you have to disregard what seems to be the obvious answer and put it in God's hands. Because nothing's impossible with God.
Amen.
And after he says, Father, I thank you, you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face lashed in a cloth. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. Things that we don't understand, things that we don't grasp. Karen's story of the little kitten. Karen's story of the little kitten that's injured, didn't know the answer to it. But the illustration was on the way through. How old were you, Karen?
About eight.
About eight. 8 years old. God can do anything. Let's give this a try. Mm-hmm. Let's give it a try. You know, you watched, if you were at the dinner last night, you watched my two granddaughters there. I have an expansion of granddaughters now. Because Elaine and I have granddaughters on both sides, so I get new granddaughters that I have to learn their names and what they're capable of. Mm-hmm. But what you got to see last night with those little girls was possibility sinking in action. We were visiting an Ed set, because Ed generally runs around and makes sure everybody's got food and kind of acts as the slot host, directing traffic, going back and forth. And he said, I didn't need to do anything because they were fully involved. Amen. You know, and they were learning as they were doing. And they were the expression that I love. I love to build the airplane while I'm flying. You know, we were in the serve mode, greet mode, you know, get ticket mode, how are you, fellowship mode, and, you know, Keith and Joel and Nate are up front, and, you know, they're serving, and, you know, Alma's taking money, and then there's these two little girls who, you know, Elaine's telling them, okay, ask them what they want to drink, hey, you know, and then they'd come up, and they were an unknown quantity, can you carry two plates? Yeah! No hesitation, adults would go, well, let me try one. No, kids were like, we can handle two. Are you sure? You're okay? Yep. And I'm, you know, I hopefully it wasn't obvious, but I'm going, oh, I sure hope they can handle that.
No place for a drop.
No, not a one. No. There was no drops, no hitches in the giddy up. Nobody got coffee on their lap. God was good. He was there guiding those two little girls. But they believed.
Yeah.
There was no quit in either one of them. And they went all night long. They were good until we ran out of customers. When we ran out of customers, it was time to pack them up, send them back home full of sugar. we did good. We let them eat all the desserts they wanted, sent them back home. Now Jesus comes and he does not have any hesitation. But he has the human side. Sometimes we feel sad. Sometimes we don't feel great,
right.
But like Jesus, we need to move forward. Army always says, always forward. We always move forward regardless of how you feel.
Right.
Focus on the mission, not the hitch in your giddy up. And I like to say, you fake it till you make it. You smile even when you don't want to smile, and you share the light and love of Jesus with you each and every step that you go, and you become a witness.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Along the way, it says, then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him. But some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things Jesus did. And instead of saying, might be something here. Might be something here. This rabbi draws a lot of folks. And he took a dead man and brought him out of the tomb. Could be something here. But because he was not in their comfort level and didn't fit their perception of what the Messiah was, they said, hey, this person's going to cause the Romans to come and disrupt my lifestyle. He's getting a whole bunch of followers. And it might disrupt my lifestyle. So let's kill him. That'll stop the insurrection. The Romans won't look at us as a threat. My lifestyle won't say. Antiochus says to him, you know nothing at all, nor do you consider it expedient for us that one man should die for the people and not the whole nation perish.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, it says he did not say this on his own authority.
Yeah.
But being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation. And not the nation only, but he would also gather together one of the children of God that were scattered abroad. And from that day on, they plotted to put him to death. Now 54 says, and then Jesus no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went from there into the country, into the wilderness called Ephraim, where he remained with his disciples. Most of life's questions aren't that hard. Most of life's questions are a repeat of questions that are answered before. There's a saying, Ed, and I'm sure that you know the saying, if you don't know history, history will repeat itself.
kind of like doing things the same way all the time and expecting different results.
It's the definition of insanity.
That's right. If you know the answer to the quiz and you don't go to the answers, you're doing the same thing over and over again, and that is truly the definition of insanity. If things aren't going well and you need an answer and you're going to use Google, ask Google to Google the Bible. Google's good at Googling the Bible. I do it all the time.
God's better. But God's better. Google's good, but God's better.
Now, the answer to the quiz, Charlie, is if you're looking for something and you need an answer to, I need a new job, ask Google, help me to find a new job and use the Bible as my reference. It'll give you every verse in the Bible that relates to changing your career, changing your attitude, changing your walk. But get the correct reference. The correct reference is this book.
Amen.
Lifestyle change, health and fitness, healing, soothing marital relation, raising kids.
Retirement.
Yep. Any subject matter that you want. Getting along with disagreeable people. It's in here. Use the resource that's infallible, has been infallible for as long as man has walked and recorded the history. This will get you there. Next week we walk into Palm Sunday. The verse that we used with the resurrection of Lazarus is the precursor to Palm Sunday. It's the plot where they talk about, hey, we need to get rid of this rabbi. Palm Sunday, when Jesus mounts the donkey and rides in the town, they know they really need to get rid of him. Because he's fulfilling the prophecy from Isaiah that every good Jew knows. He's got multitudes in front of him and in back of him and around him, and he's starting to bring Gentiles in. He's starting to draw crowds that are all cross-referenced, and the authorities become crazy because they might have their lifestyle changed. As Christians, that's what we're looking for.
Amen.
You don't come to Jesus to stay the way you are. You don't come to Jesus to because you know all the answers already and makes you feel good. You come to Jesus to change. And change is constant.
Mm-hmm.
Your mission, my mission when I came here 18 years ago was was the same basic mission, help the church. Help grow the church, this type of thing. But now I'm going to be 66 this year.
Amen.
That's a good thing. They've proven, Charlie, that people that have the most birthdays live longest. It's a beautiful thing. But as you move on, we don't retire, we reload.
That's right.
As we move on, God gives us little hitches in our giddy up so that we can witness.
Yeah.
So that we can share the joy of Jesus in spite of the adversity that we face.
That's right.
That's what a warrior is. You want to be a warrior, not a worrier. Mm-hmm. You want to be a participator, not a spectator.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be involved, because when you're involved, all of your pains and ailments seem minor, because
mm-hmm.
you're sharing them with other folks that have friends and have issues that are always much greater. Always much greater. So as we move towards Easter and we move towards Palm Sunday next week, be aware that the answers are here. In the bulletin I use Psalm 119 verse 11. It talks about, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you.
Amen.
And John 1:10 says, he was in the world, and the world came into being through him, and yet the world did not know him. So be aware. God walks with you. God surrounds you. And if you're lucky this week, good, my wife is in here. She gets real, because she doesn't like the word lucky. I had to explain to her that lucky is not a bad thing if you're a Christian. Because lucky is when preparation meets opportunity.
That's right.
That's what luck is. So if you're always preparing, God will give you the opportunity, and you're going to make yourself and whoever you bless lucky, lucky, lucky. And this is the week to do that. And all God's people said,
amen.
Our closing hymn is Jesus Paid It All, 489, right? Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.